explain a little bit more about this survey that was undertaken. And I found it incredible to note that so many parents felt that way that about schools and clubs, and especially about concussion.
Indeed, it's frightening. And I suppose if I could start by just saying what a concussion is, because actually one of the parts of the survey, which was frightening as well, was that a lot of people still are confused about what a concussion is. So let me just start by saying a concussion is a mild traumatic brain injury, which, if treated correctly and given the time to recover, it will be fine and you can go back to play. But if ignored and you continue to play, could have catastrophic consequences. So I suppose what Headway decided was important was to start informing and educating people about what a concussion is. Now, a concussion is, like I said, a mild traumatic brain injury, which is caused by a collision, not just to the head, but to any part of the body. If the force is strong enough, it can cause the brain to bounce around within the skull, and so can cause any kind of disruption, electronic disruption in your signalling, I suppose, putting it very crudely, which means that it can manifest, symptoms can manifest in different ways, and we need to be conscious that we need to look for these types of symptoms.
On that point, Sarah, for a moment, we have a case in point of a couple of years ago where a Dublin schoolboy rugby player brought his school and Leinster Rugby to court over an incident in which he apparently suffered a concussion and still played on, because that was the mindset. You know, I mean, there was the old mindset, and I've played rugby, so bangs the head was kind of regular in many respects. But you sat down, if you saw stars, you sat it out. If you felt all right, you played on.
Yeah.
That's changed very much so in the past couple of years. And this court case, which I believe has concluded, but it brought it very much to light the amount of injury that can be caused to somebody's brain by a bang of that sort.
Yeah, well, that's it. And I suppose it has brought it to the fore somewhat, but it hasn't actually... If people aren't confident, if parents aren't confident that schools and clubs are going to take their child off, then I don't know that it has changed enough. So that's why we've gone out with this concussion aware campaign to say, if in doubt, sit it out, because the consequences can be catastrophic. People believe that you have to lose consciousness to be concussed. Not at all. You could literally not even feel the symptoms for until you're in the bus home or you're waking up the next day. If the collision is strong, and if you have a bang to the head or to the body that you see happening to a player on the pitch, then it is your duty to sit them out if you're in doubt of any consequences, because any sort of diagnosis on the sideline, just you can't be sure. You actually just can't be sure. No one can. And so you really have to wait for a minimum period of time to see, okay, what are the consequences of that bang?
As
I said, it could be just on the bus home that people begin to feel that pain.
I actually want to ask this question. Are we going in the right direction in certain sports? In rugby, obviously, we now have the return to play protocols, which is a, you know, we have the HIA, which is, you know, which is in practice immediately during a game. If a referee feels a player has suffered a bang to a head, that would necessitate treatment. It's the HIA is called straight away, the return to play protocol. Player doesn't play for 2 weeks now if he's got a bang. Are we going in the right direction regarding the treatment, or maybe even the awareness of if someone is concussed to actually sit it out, as you say?
Well, it's even when I hear the 2 weeks, I kind of shudder, because the point of this is that you can't actually say it should be 2 weeks, it should be 1 week, it should be 2 months. We see different cases and different types of concussion, and I suppose it's obvious enough to say, but perhaps we forget it, that we're all individuals and it all depends on the person and on their own medical history and what kind of concussion they get. And I don't want to get into too medical details, and it's really for the GP to decide what the return to play should be. But it's not obvious to anybody, and certainly to the lay person, what that return to play should be. So we, Headway, are calling on, I suppose, managers, referees, parents on the sidelines to say, OK, look, let's sit them out now. Let's see what happens. Let's check in with them in an hour. Let's check in them with a couple of hours later. And again, the next day, how are you feeling? What did the bang do? How did it go? And then if you feel it was severe enough, bring them to the GP and they'll assess any kind of return to play. Again, we Headway absolutely encourage sports, and it's very important actually as part of a person's well-being and fitness and general health. But what we don't, and we don't certainly want to discourage people playing, but we want people to start taking that bang, that collision seriously, and not just, I mean, you mentioned earlier about, you know, you were just sent back on, that magic sponge that would like, oh, you're fine, you look fine, off you go. You know, you'd treat a bang to the, I suppose, a twisted ankle, you'd come off, you know, a twisted anything or bang to your ribs or whatever, you wouldn't be able to play. You can't see what's going on inside your brain. That doesn't mean there's not something going on. So take the decision to take the player off, you know, and don't leave it to the player. Absolutely don't leave it to the player, because they are not in the right frame of mind to take that decision. They will also be, I mean, one of the symptoms is irritability. They won't be too pleased about coming off. So you really need to take that decision into your own hands as a teammate, as a manager, as a referee, to say, no, you need to come off. It's not good enough for you to play on. You've got a bang and I'm calling it. Now, they won't be happy about it, in as much as 20 years ago, maybe someone might drive home drunk and you'd take off their keys and they wouldn't be happy about it, and you mightn't be too happy about being that person. But now, culturally, it's okay and it's acceptable, and we understand why that is. I suppose what we're trying to do here at Headway is also introduce that cultural change. You know, don't take the risk. Please don't play on. If you're in any doubt, please sit it out.
Molly Dunn joins us as well. Molly, thanks very much indeed. Your own experiences, obviously, you play a sport where a helmet is it's part and parcel of it. It's a necessity. You have to wear a helmet when you play camogie. The rules are very, very strict on that. But you've your own experiences of concussion.
Yeah, John, I suppose it was last year with a club game, and I just got kind of taken down going in on goal, but it was... My head kind of would hit the ground, helmet and all on me. My head hit the ground, just the impact of my head hitting the ground. The crowd kind of reacted. I got up, but I suppose it looked worse than how I felt at the time. I got up, and I suppose my leg wasn't broke or my finger wasn't hanging off, so I felt like I was fine to play on. And our management team at the time, in fairness, had the good knowledge to not allow me to play on, and they took me off. But I felt fine. I was kind of arguing with them on the sideline, wanted to go back on. But I suppose it was about an hour and a half later when I got back home that I just started getting real lightheaded, feeling like I had a heavy headache, foggy feeling in my head, just lightheaded, and started vomiting. And that was, I suppose, my experience of the concussion. I ended up missing a game the following week with Galway. We'd played Limerick 5 days later, but I could not train that week. My head wasn't right. I couldn't go to work. But I suppose at the time when I had the impact, I felt fine. I didn't feel like I had anything wrong with me. And as I said, it was an hour and a half later again, I got back home that I realised that, yeah, there was something up with me. And I suppose I was lucky that I didn't play on, because things could have been a whole lot worse than what they were.
It's incredible that, you know, when you listen to someone's personal experience like yours, Molly, that, you know, something like that can happen. But the fact that it took an hour and a half, and is this kind of where we talk about the danger zone in many respects? That a person could get a bang like you did and be perfectly okay and even kind of argue your case to go back on, and all of a sudden, like you said, an hour and a half later, feeling sick, getting, you know, very foggy headed, that maybe... This is kind of a way of looking to people and going, it's not okay. If you get a bang, make sure that you're off, make sure that you're looked at, make sure you're checked out, because the very same thing could happen to them.
Yeah, exactly. Like I, at the time, I suppose it's all hindsight now. I know the right thing was done, and I'd be more aware of it going forward myself, and encourage it definitely when I'd see a fellow player, or, you know, I've been involved with underage teams myself, managing them and things. I'd never take that risk now, knowing what I know. But even, I suppose, it was 9 days after the incident, I went to go back training. I felt fine, genuinely felt fine when training. I wasn't 10 minutes out in the pitch training, and I got lightheaded again and started vomiting. So I was quickly whipped off again at county training. And, you know, all in all, I ended up being 3 weeks out of competitive training and matches. But in hindsight, that was minor to what way I could have been if I ended up playing on in that game. So I suppose from my experience, 100% I'd be agreeing, if in doubt, just sit it out, because it's long term, you know, it's definitely not worth it. And when you experience it, that's when you really realise it.
It's one thing I noticed in Camogie and in hurling as well, where the helmet is paramount and is a necessity, that there is a lot of work now going on to the design of the helmet and to the design of the protection. But can the helmet totally protect, or will the helmet ever totally protect from a bang of that sort?
Well, like as I said, you know, I had my helmet on, a fully, you know, fully insured helmet, everything, and my head was just the force of my head hitting the ground. Yeah, I'm sure it definitely protects me to a certain degree, but completely from concussion, no, it definitely won't protect you fully. Like, and you know, mine wasn't even a belt to the hurl to the head, which could have been a worse impact. It was literally just a bang of my head to the ground with my helmet on, and that's how I ended up. And I'm sure there's even worse cases out there that we might not have heard of yet.
It's always interesting to hear the impression, Sarah, from a player themselves that has experienced this. And second impact syndrome is something that people are not totally aware of, and that's actually unbelievably important, because that can have a catastrophic effect on a player if such a thing was to happen to them. But will something like Molly's story and the likes of others, Seamus Coleman, Johnny Cooper's involved, Luke Fitzgerald, a man who would definitely have first hand experience, Kate Kearney as well, Noel Healy, there's so many that have come on board with this, Sarah, that, you know, the importance of getting that message across, of sitting it out. If you don't feel right, don't go back in. While you might feel you're fine, double check it. And obviously medical cover, making sure everyone is watching, and this is where medical help on the sideline is vital.
Yeah, I mean, you've mentioned all the unions there and all the players that got involved, and I think that's testament to the importance of this campaign. Since we started the whole idea of kind of getting this information and awareness campaign out here, there was so much love for the campaign from all the players, because a lot of them have been concussed and they recognise that they're playing at a level where there are doctors on the sidelines. But they know full well that the majority of athletes playing, and kids in schools and whatnot, they don't have the everything that opens and shuts at their beck and call. So it really is about educating parents and about managers and referees and coaches and those who go out, parents who go out and coach other teams, that they know not to take the risk. Like you said, you mentioned second impact syndrome. Do want to stress it is it's when the brain swells rapidly after another bang to the head. So it's a second concussion, if you like. And now, obviously, that's incredibly rare, but the result can be fatal, and it only requires one to, you know, loved one to lose life to understand that you never want to take that risk. And so with this campaign and all the players behind it, we built this website, concussionaware.ie, where we want everyone to go on, have a look at the information that's relevant to you. We have the site set up to, target if you're a player, if you're a manager, or if you're schools. We want people to get involved. We can set them up with their own club poster if they want. We can personalise it to their club crest and whatnot, and just sort of saying that, you know, Galway is concussion aware, or whatever crest you want to send. And then what we'll do is we'll ask people then also to get involved on Facebook. Facebook actually have also come behind this campaign. So we're their first, Headway are actually the first charity outside the US to get Facebook support for a charity campaign of this nature, and they will create, if you press try it on the Facebook of Headway, you can actually put a filter on your profile picture straight away. Now that's the first time Facebook has ever supported a campaign outside the US, so we're thrilled. And I think it's because it's testament again to the fact that people are taking this seriously. It is an important health issue, and people obviously will take the various injuries seriously, but haven't started to take this brain injury seriously. And we want to equip people with the information and ask them to sit it out if in doubt, because again, we hear of helmets and whatnot, that doesn't protect you. It certainly can protect you to some degree, but the thing is, a concussion can equally happen from a force strong enough to the body. It doesn't necessarily happen to the head. So, you know, we will see situations where people have had such a collision that it has still caused their brain in their body, in their skull, to wobble back and forth. So we need to be conscious that it's not just a bang to the head, it can be a bang to the body. So you might be sore in your ribs because you got a bang to the ribs, but actually if the collision was strong enough, you may also have got a concussion. So you need to just check in with the person. Like what we were saying there about, you know, symptoms happening an hour and a half later, like many people say, "You okay?" And, you know, the player goes, "Yeah, I'm fine. And, you know, let me keep playing." And Molly's going, "Of course, don't take me off. What are you thinking?" And then, of course, an hour and a half later, she's vomiting. So, you know, it's to be conscious of that. And if in doubt, just sit them out, wait, check in again with them the next day, see how they're feeling, and monitor their progress as they come, and try and avoid electronic devices, bit of television, rest and recover, and then it'll be fine. Like anything, you'd rest your knee, if you got a bang to it, you wouldn't run on the pitch, you know, if you broke your knee. So equally, you know, just a bit of respect for the brain, take it seriously and sit it out.